per year players in the history of your franchise.
It's just so easy to fall into some of the ridiculous narrative around Bryant and the Cubs and service time manipulation, Scott Boras as his agent and all the different forces around him. This, what matters to me is the Cubs have a 5-win baseball player on their hands. They've got 2 years left of the 5-win baseball player. And if you listen to every single report, both local and national, the likelihood that he gets dealt before the season is pretty darn high. So, why does a team that has stated they want to win in 2020 look into trading a 5-win player? These are the answers. This is the simplest answers I'm looking for. And they're not trading him because he's a prima donna. They're not trading him because you think he's soft. They're not trading him because he strikes out too much or hits the kind of home runs you don't like. They're not trading him because his defense isn't there. They're not trading him because 2 years from now he's going to be 30. They're trading him because they don't have enough around the rest of the team to make them a consistent winner. How much of that is Chris Bryant's fault?
And even when we get back to the genesis of the grievance itself, and members of Genesis, the idea was at the time that he was doing this not just for himself, but doing this as a larger move on behalf of players because it was the perfect storm. Even though we've heard that Vlad Guerrero Jr., you know, that was since. But at the time,
right,
there was no better example of the obvious purposeful manipulation mm-hmm. of the agreed upon rules because he was who he was at the time. This was the college player of the year, the minor league player of the year, would uh-huh. eventually be rookie of the year and then MVP. But it was, if not then, if you couldn't do it with that guy, what his numbers were, what he did in spring training, all of it, that was the time to do it. And whether it's Bryant, whether it's Boras, whether it's the Players Association, you can't begrudge them that.
No, there is little doubt in my mind that the Players Association identified Bryant as a guy they could do this with because of all the instances you brought up, but also who he is. He has said, and Gordon Whitmire wrote this yesterday, he was on with Lawrence yesterday, you should go back and listen to it if you missed it. He said, listen, there's no ill will. This is fine. This is business. I'm going to do my best to play the game the way I know I can play it. That's what that man has said about the grievance that got filed. No ill will. So if you are a Cubs fan saying, well, you can't fault the Cubs for following the rules, they're just one of 30 teams who would have done the same thing with Chris Bryant, then how do you fault Bryant, Boras, or the Players Association for doing the thing that every other prospect was pretty ticked off about? They don't think it's a fair rule. And to be honest with you, I don't think it's a fair rule either. You got to find a way. If you're going to find labor, if you don't want a lockout, you got to find a way to fix what Chris Bryant and Scott Boras and the Players Association have been complaining about and think is unfair in this practice.
I've been trying to get my head around the larger sort of fan psychology issue that Chris Bryant is embodying here, that all of this is something, it's something new and weird. The idea that, is it a coping mechanism that people are just resigned to the fact that he's going to be traded and are trying to rationalize it by retroactively not liking him? I mean, he's one of the most likable, selfless, superstar players. Like, I can understand the extenuating circumstances of guys who have had off-field trouble, guys who are difficult to get along with, guys who scowl, guys who've had something negative in their history. This guy, you would draw him up in a lab to create a superstar professional athlete. I mean, the guy is nice and handsome and clean cut and does whatever his manager asks him to do whenever he's asked to do it.
He's friendly with the other stars on the team.
I know. I mean, it's just...
What?
So he's got that going for him. So it's just incredible to me how... And he was the best player on the World Series champion.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it seems, oh, we don't need him. Get him out of here. I don't like... How does this happen?
You would think that would be about Anthony Rizzo after last year, considering... Remember how he was kind of pouty once Nick Castellanos got there and started taking his shine as, you know, the guy that was the pulse of the clubhouse and stuff like that? You know, Rizzo wasn't playing the best either, but he was also kind of pouty because he wasn't the guy anymore. That would be, I would think, the profile of a guy. If you have to choose to move somebody, you would rather move.
Remember Rizzo, too. Rick, you're right. Rizzo, too, at that Cubs convention was talking a lot about how it's absurd that we're going to trade Chris Bryant. We're talking about this. It's absurd that we haven't added anybody. He was upset with the way that the front office has kind of taken this team over the last couple of months. He's voiced that displeasure. Bryant hasn't done any of that. And yet, Rizzo remains kind of that guy, face of the franchise, handsomely cut as the man may be. He's out there doing things that you think Chris Bryant's doing. And what's amazing to me, too, is no matter how many, whether it's super advanced or pretty basic baseball numbers you throw at people about Chris Bryant, you throw two people who think Chris Bryant is not good in the clutch, or doesn't hit enough home runs, or strikes out too much, all those kind of things. It doesn't matter how much proof you want to offer about this player. But once you start talking to somebody who's already sold themselves on the idea of moving Chris Bryant, you feel like they're Adam Dunn. You feel like we're talking about somebody else. You feel like we're talking about the king of strikeouts or something. It's just bizarre.
It's confusing to me to see how easily fans will just decide they want a guy gone or decide and know that they're deciding it.
Mm-hmm.
And say, well, that's it. I don't like him and I'm done with him and that's enough already. I what causes it?
Cognitive dissonance?
Thinking is uncomfortable? I don't know.
As reliable of a source for that.
Scoreboard update.
You're right. Take your blue check mark and shove it, Rick. From the Northwestern Basketball Update Studio.
I'm Kevin. Well.
Am I allowed to say that on the air? Was that dumped?
Nah,
you're fine.
Doesn't matter. Nobody's listening.
From the Northwestern comments.
Join the Wildcats at Welch Ryan Arena this Saturday when they host Purdue at 8 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. Bulls lost to the Pacers last night, 115-106, the final in overtime from the Bankers Life Arena. Pacers mounted a late comeback, finishing the game on a 22-6 run. The Bulls are now 1-19 versus teams over 500. Tonight, the NBA All-Star Reserves will be announced, so maybe some good news tonight for Zach LaVine as he hopes to represent the Bulls in the All-Star game. Last night in college, Michigan State ran over Northwestern 79-50, Penn State over Indiana 64-49, Seton Hall defeated DePaul 64-57, and Southern Illinois topped Loyola 68-63. In football, Bears quarterback Mitchell Trubisky recently underwent surgery on his non-throwing shoulder. And, of course, Super Bowl 54 is just 3 days away. We'll have it here on The Score. Chiefs and Niners will be practicing down in Miami once again today. The update was brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Is your family prepared this cold and flu season? Knowing when it's the flu lets you know when to call your doctor. The flu brings a fever, so be prepared with a thermometer you can trust, the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Backed by more than 80 clinical studies, visit Exergen.com. I'm Kevin Zipak, and you are listening to Chicago's number one ranked sports station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. The Score is the radio home of Super Bowl 54 when the San Francisco 49ers take on the Kansas City Chiefs this Sunday. The Score is a radio.com sports station.
There is no inevitability to a Chris Bryant trade. Is that what you're saying?
Well.
Well. That's funny. It's Gordon Whitmire on with Mullion Haw. Well, it's a solid well. It's a well-pronounced well.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's a pause
it's a,
in
it's
a well.
It's a considered one.
It really
right?
is.
Yeah.
You like the clutch stat more than the idea of a man being clutch, correct? This idea that while you can produce in big situations, it doesn't necessarily take some sort of superhero to do it. Right.
It's not a magical skill. The best, most convincing argument for some definition of clutch is absence of choke. It's being able to be a semblance of yourself in important situations, in high leverage situations, to just be who you are and to maintain your ability.
Bryant was well above water in terms of how Fangraphs measures clutch, 0.70. That's 18th in the National League. Rizzo was better, but so were guys like Gene Segura and Bryce Harper and Evan Longoria and Max Muncy.
Oh, don't mention Bryce Harper, because now apparently we learned that the Washington Nationals won the World Series because they got rid of him.
Oh, shoot. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that what we're
heard
coming
that,
down
heard
on?
Heard that, too.
Yeah, well, they got rid of Bryce Harper and won a World Series. They had that Juan Soto fellow.
Yeah. He's